So I heard Michael say, God loves a cheerful giver. There's a blessing in giving. There's a blessing in receiving. And just think, God gives us a gift. And the prayer this morning, I'd like it repeated. All kinds of spiritual gifts that God has given us. Thank you for the prayer. Okay? So here's all the gifts God has given us. But you know what? God gives, but there's a blessing in giving. But for us, if we don't receive, the other person can't give. So here's a few Christmas gifts I heard in terms of kids' time. There's gifts of cards and letters and shopping and presents. So here's George Dowling. He's 95 years old. His wife passed away in 2013, Lucille. They're married for 70 years. She was, for him, Christmas, whatever Christmas was in their family. And so his daughter, to sort of make Christmas somehow more pleasant, she suggests online that people send George a Christmas card. So this year, and I don't know the final count, but during 8 days prior to I read the article on December 22nd, he received in 8 days 10,000 cards. We didn't, Mary, get that many cards this year, okay? We didn't advertise for cards. We got a few, okay? So the mailman, he was carrying loads, 2,000 plus cards per day, and I don't know what the final count was. So give cards, or people may do it online now, right, in terms of greetings. Well, here's a Christmas letter. It's sent to a guy in a red suit with a white beard, and you see at the top the seal of Russia. And from Russia, the letter says, Dear Santa, I want what's mine, Ukraine, and the North Pole, signed by V. Putin, something like that. Well, someone does Christmas shopping, Christmas dinner. They go to the store, they have a dozen eggs, a liter of milk, and a loaf of bread. And when they get the bill, inflation at the checkout, they say, can I get that gift wrapped to go? Well, here's a Christmas tree. I think our prime minister this year is in Jamaica, didn't go to Tofino. So he gets a Christmas sweater. Across the top is LLL and the Canadian flag, liberal. And in the middle going across, it says ethics violation. He says, again, I always get the same gift. Well, early Christians did not celebrate Christmas. Christmas as a celebration in terms of Christianity did not happen until the 4th century. And I said in the Bible class, beginning first of all with the Emperor Constantine. But as far as the church is concerned, in 354, the Roman bishop chose December 25, not the date Christ was born, nobody knows, but he chose December 25 to celebrate the birth of the Son, S-O-N, of God. See, the Persians and the Romans, Harold mentioned the winter solstice. They celebrate, they had a festival to Saturn, the sun. So here's the birth of the sun. Darkness is beginning to dissipate. The days start to grow longer. So the pagans celebrate nature, not nature's God, the sun. So the Christians decide, you know what? If you can't beat them, maybe you give new meaning to something they're already doing. So let's celebrate. There's parties going on. Let's celebrate in our culture the birth, not of the physical S-U-N, but let's celebrate and remind people of God's Son, God's gift. And this was also a beginning of a new year, what we now know as the British Isles. So new beginnings. So one December, I was in Prague, Czechoslovakia, what called the Czech Republic then, now called Czechia. A plethora of Christmas markets and constant reminders of gifts and gift giving. Now, some of the history. In 1919, after World War I, Czechoslovakia became an independent state. Note, 80% of the population expressed Christian faith in 1919. But after World War II, Czechoslovakia was annexed to the Soviet Empire, forced to become a communist, secular, atheistic state. And with the collapse of the Iron Curtain in 1989, the Czechs again became independent. But notice the change, it's reversed now. 80% claim to be non-religious. 5% claim to be Christian. Less than 2% claim to be Jewish. So a change in less than a century. Now, I was with a tour guide. Here's these Christmas celebrations. I said, well, why then Christmas? Why gift giving? And note, in Czechoslovakia called Czechia now, or was called the Czech Republic and then Czechia, gifts not given in the name of Santa or Saint Nicholas, but the guide said, in the name, we give gifts, we're not religious, but we give gifts in the name of the baby Jesus. Now, the angel told Joseph, and we saw this in class, Karen, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. But he doesn't just save us from our sins, but for a purpose, for a divine purpose. So the modern Czechs, the Europeans, North Americans, do we really know the Jesus story? Do we know, other than fragments, the whole Jesus story? See, my sense is the baby Jesus is, for many, domesticated, left lying in the manger. And the song says, no crying he makes, I assumed he did cry, making no claim for himself, making no claim on us. Well, we know that's not the case, right? But that's what happens in our world. So my neighbor Jerry is a conserving, retired Anglican minister, very biblical, extremely biblical. And we talk openly about faith and about scripture. On his front lawn, he's three doors down from us. He has a simple, attractive, wooden, white nativity scene on his lawn. But Mary noticed last night, Joseph fell down. See, here's the cradle. The cradle is central between a kneeling Mary and Joseph. Now I said to Jerry, what do you think the neighbors think? Jerry, what if we placed a cross, an old rugged cross, behind the manger scene, the nativity scene? What then might the neighbors think? Or the passers-by? Or we? You think, Jerry, they might begin to make the spiritual connection as we talked in Bible class this morning? See, George Herbert said, the God of power, he did descend undressed, the birth, all the way. Well, Charlie Brown's Christmas. It first appeared on TV on December 9, 1965. It's been on TV every year since, except maybe this year. You have to be a subscriber to Apple TV to get it this year. Don't know why. But as that TV animated program begins, Charlie Brown exclaims, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" Well, he's disgusted. His sister asks Santa for money. She says, "How about tens and twenties?" He's dispirited by his dog, Snoopy, who lights up his doghouse only to win prize money. So Charlie's depressed. The commercialization of what he deems to be Christmas. See, the program is sponsored by a company called Coca-Cola. And Santa, of course, wears the red suit as part of the commercial for Coca-Cola. So on stage, didn't we have a reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14? I won't read it again now. But on stage, all by himself, is Linus. Linus responds to Charlie Brown's question about the meaning and reads from the King James Bible, Luke chapter 2, 8 to 14, which we'll refer to later on. Now, the reading. Charles Schultz, he also has a book called The Gospel According to Peanuts. He insisted this biblical passage must be included in the program. The director said, "No, we can't do that. It's very dangerous for us in this TV program to be talking about religion." This was 1965, right? Way back then. But Schultz said, "No, Bill, if we don't talk about religion or faith or Christ, Karen, who will? The scripture has remained in that story." Of course, if you can't see it on TV this year, you video, YouTube, what have you, right? Now, reflection. Today, many ask, like Charlie Brown, what's the Christmas season all about? Now, I can ignore it. I can give it secular meaning. I know Christ was not born on December 25, as far as history tells us. I can take today or this season or any season in Ukraine, Orthodox Christmas, which is, depending on where you live in the world, okay, January 6th, January 7th. But as a protest against the invasion from Russia, the Russian Orthodox Church, many Ukrainians celebrate Christmas today. They change things just to be not identified with the evil that's happening in their society coming from Mr. Putin. See, I can take a season, I can take a week, I can take a day. If I want to, I can infuse it with the Christ story. In fact, every day is a Christ day, isn't it? Okay? Every day. Not only, we're not limited to the Sunday, right? Every day we can celebrate God's coming into our world. So, Genesis begins in the beginning God. Harold told us that in Bible class. God creates. John begins his gospel in chapter 1, verse 1, just like Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Through him, all things that were made were created. The Word became flesh. And we know what happened. It happened physically at Bethlehem. And Jesus lived 33 years among us. And John says in John 1:14, we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. Matthew tells us about the Magi. Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. Herod was the king. The Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who is born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." Now, King Herod, disturbed. Jerusalem is disturbed. He says, well, to the priests and the teachers of the law, where the Christ was to be born. See the prophecy from Micah. In Bethlehem of Judea, they said. For Micah said, you, Bethlehem, out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Shepherds watching the flock. Jesus, the Christ, he'll be the shepherd of my people. Now the Magi are called by Herod secretly and told to tell him the exact time they saw the star. And go and make a careful search. Find the child. And when you find him, let me know so I can kill him. As he later on killed all the babies under 2 years of age, right? So they went on their way, the Magi, the shepherds. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them. You think of the Old Testament, the cloud, the fire, directing Israel. The star went ahead of them. It stopped over the place where Jesus was born. The shepherds sought out Mary, Jesus' mother, and Jesus, and they bowed down and worshiped. They had presents. They prepared. They knew something special was happening. Gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And then a dream warned them, don't go back to Herod. Go home by another route. So in the world of the first century, the Magi, believing Jews, Greeks seeking divine wisdom, inquired, is there any message from God? You might have heard of the street artist Banksy. He displays a nativity scene under the West Bank wall in Bethlehem. And there's a bullet hole shaped like a star in the wall. And he entitles this painting, The Scar of Bethlehem. The star shaped like a bullet hole. The Scar of Bethlehem. And we saw this morning in the Bible class, Simeon talks to Mary about Jesus at the birth of an impending death. And he says, a sword will pierce Mary, your own soul. So Jesus is born to die. So, you might ask, even today, what's the good word? We know that the bad news is bad, and the good news is a trifle thin. So they're asking, what's the God word? The Greeks debated the meaning of life, the nature of reality, material or spiritual. They inquired about the Logos, the Word coming to our world, a revelation from God, God's communication. So John, he knows his world. He announces God has indeed revealed himself. The Logos, the Word, has already entered our world of time and space in Jesus Christ. What you've been anticipating all these years has finally been revealed as both a material and a spiritual reality. So, with the divine light of the incarnation, God appearing in flesh and blood, the whole universe is the stage for Jesus as the Christ and for the entire Christ's story. So John speaks of the Word. John says, in him was life. And that life born in Bethlehem was the light of men. Now, our late queen, Elizabeth II, one of her messages at the turn of the Christmas season, the new year, darkness, scandal, war, what's happening in our world, she says, light can triumph over darkness. The world has had to confront moments of darkness, and she enumerates some. But the Gospel of John, the Queen says, contains a verse of great hope. And she quotes John chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Another translation is, or another meaning is, the darkness has not yet understood it. See, not everyone like the Magi seek to investigate the star, the light of Bethlehem. Darkness? See, I think the evil one attempts to blur the light, extinguish the light. And so people are confused. So how do we unconfuse them? So God, what does he do? How does God communicate to his creation? Well, God gives us a self-portrait. And he speaks in a language that even the biblically illiterate might visualize and perhaps understand. See, what happens, God, as the Word, bears himself. Jesus comes in the world naked. He bears himself. And what happens at the crucifixion? Matthew 27:27 says, they stripped him naked. See, the birth, the crucifixion, is connected by a cross, as Simeon prophesied. They stripped him. So at the beginning of Jesus' life, and at the end of his physical life on this earth, he gives us a nude testament. You get the sense? There's the Old Testament. There's, with Jesus, a New Testament, but it's also a New Testament in the sense it's transparent. God wants us to see. It's a living testament. It's a loving testament. It's a human testament. It's a divine testament. It's God's testimony. It's God's self-portrait. The divine mystery, nothing hidden, is fully and finally revealed. So Peter, before the crucifixion, he confesses, acknowledges Jesus as the Christ. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the promised one. You are the Son of the living God in Matthew 16, verse 16. See, Jesus is the key to the kingdom, to the universe. And by faith, it becomes the means, faith, by which we understand and embrace God's message and God's messenger. So Simeon, remember him in Luke 2 from this morning, 25 to 35, that Sam read? Simeon says, I can now die in peace. God has allowed me to live to see this moment. He embraces in his arms and announces the Lord's salvation, a light for revelation, glory for both Jews and Gentiles. But he says, a cross will come and pierce Mary's soul. So think of Simeon. Peace. I can die in peace. I've seen, I've held, I'm experiencing God's salvation. See, that same gift that Simeon had is also offered to us. So Jesus, just before his arrest, he says to his disciples, "You believe at last." Only took 3 years. See, we're slow learners sometimes, right? But it took them 3 years and then the resurrection to put all the pieces together. So why is our world confused? They were with Jesus, they didn't fully understand. So how do we take opportunity to communicate the fullness of the Christ story? So Jesus says to the disciples, "You believe at last. In this world, you'll have trouble. In me, you'll have peace. You can choose trouble forever, or you might choose peace in Christ. But in me, take heart. I have overcome the world." And the implication is, in Christ, we too, like those disciples, can be overcomers. John 16, 31 to 33. In the words of Zechariah, he says, "And I heard in the prayer the word mercy." Thank you for God's mercy and God's grace. "Because of the tender mercy of God, the rising sun," S-U-N, but in our case, S-O-N, "the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Isn't there a book called The Peace Child? See, some people in some areas of evangelism, missions, didn't quite understand the Christ story until he's offered to the people as a peace, maybe not the prince, but a peace child. Jesus came, that baby, to make peace. Now, remember Linus? And remember David reading? Luke 2, 10 through 14. The angel said, maybe to us as well, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, in Bethlehem," see, the lineage counts. Who's your father? Where do you come from? "A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ." That's the Greek name for Messiah. He is Christ. He is the Lord. "A sign, a baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in the manger." See the prophecies. "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel." Suddenly, heavenly hosts, what does this look like? They appear and they praise God and they say and they sing, "Glory to God in the highest." And like there is in heaven, on earth now, peace to people on whom God's favor rests. The angel in Matthew 1, 20 and 23 appears to Joseph. Again, the family lineage, son of David. Instructed, "Don't be afraid." We hear that word again. "Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is the Holy Spirit." See, we saw in the Bible class this morning, Karen, in terms of Simeon, the Holy Spirit is very, very active, involved in the birth of the Christ. "She will give birth to a son, and you'll give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The Lord said to the prophet Isaiah," and Harold, you talked about this in Bible class, "the virgin will be with child shall give birth to a son, and you'll call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, conclusion. John, if you go ahead now to John's epistle, 1 John, he proclaims, like he did in John's gospel, and he testifies of Jesus as the Word of life, as eternal life, as the Creator, as the coexistent one with God from the beginning. Jesus, who now, John says, has appeared in the flesh. And we did our homework. We've seen him. We touched him. We've been with him. Read 1 John chapter 1, the first 5 verses. See, why did he appear in the flesh? John says that we might have eternal fellowship with God the Father. God did this. And with God the Son, Jesus Christ. And that your joy might be complete. So, God, whenever Christ came, the whole purpose was fellowship with God, with Christ. Our joy is complete. So, the Christ story. Is there a hymn or a song that says, go tell it? On the escarpment over here, or wherever you are, right? Go tell it. See, if this is a good news story, if this is a story of joy, bad grammar, I ain't going to limit myself as to how I tell it or model how I live it, how I love it. People will know. Do we have another song? We are Christians by our love. They know we've been with Jesus. Remember Peter? Before he denied Jesus? They identified him as a Galilean. They identified him as a disciple of Christ. See, his behavior, his speech gave him away. And Michael, that's what we want, right? So it happens to me sometimes that people, let's say, make conclusions about me and think that I might have some kind of faith or something. I might have a different perspective. They make inquiry, okay? You don't necessarily tell people and push something on people. They realize that you're modeling something, perhaps, for them, unique, attractive. What's the source of your influence? What's the source of your goodwill? See, I don't say Merry Christmas. I'll catch people, maybe by surprise, have a blessed Christmas. Have a blessed Easter. Some people say to me, Happy Halloween. I'm not sure if I want to go Happy Halloween, but I'll offer a blessing in the name of the Lord. So the Christ story is a story of eternal joy. And somehow we exude that 24/7, all year long. A good news story, a gospel story, the Jesus story. People don't know the story. We somehow have to communicate it by our joy because of Jesus Christ. As we live peacefully and give of ourselves, Michael, and give gifts in the name of the Lord.